Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We're going to be beginning in verse 13 through 18. I was sitting there thinking about tonight's message because a lot of what y'all was talked about this morning is in tonight's message. So we're in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Paul is giving us four things that we can apply in our life that we may not lose heart in the times in which we live in. And that's what he said, faint not, verse 1, faint not, verse 16. We don't lose heart. He said, first of all, because we have a glorious ministry in chapter 4, verse 1. Second of all, in chapter 4, verse 7, because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in clay pots. And today we'll see that we do not lose heart because we have a confident faith in verses 13 through 18. Now, I want to ask you a question up front before we read our text. How's your faith life? Don't answer that. How is your faith life? You say, well, I exercised faith in Christ and came to Him. Yes, but beyond that, how is our faith life? You know, I get behind these cars sometimes, these slow cars, and I see a sign that says beach life, salt life, deer life, mountain life. Y'all name a few for me. Huh? Black life. Whoops. All lies. Well, oh, no, let's don't get political, okay? What are some more that y'all see?
Choose life.
Choose life, yeah, and all that. But how is our faith life? When you said that, Miss Linda, and I thought about that little text I sent my sister on her 61st birthday, Sylvia, about a 101-year-old woman blowing out the candles on her cake and her teeth flew out, you know. So I'm glad mine didn't fly out at that time. But how's your faith life? On a quotient, 1 to 10, just think of a number in your head. How is your faith life? 1 to 10. Well, the Apostle Paul in our text tells us how we can increase that today, how we can have a confident faith. Let's begin reading in verse 13 going through 18. Let's stand for the Word of God, if you will. And by the way, let me go ahead and be turning to my text. I'm still in Matthew. All right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. How to have a confident faith. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Paul's quoting the Old Testament. We also believe and therefore speak. Amen. That's a lot right there. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might abound, might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, I pray as we open this text, you open our hearts, increase our faith, we ask you. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. How's your faith life? Well, before I get into this text, and this is one of the things I'm going to teach you on how to read your Bible, there's a certain word and a phrase here that we need to find out what they mean if we're going to get the most benefit out of this text this morning. And that's the word know in verse 14. Paul says knowing. Knowing. Now, the Greek word means to have seen or perceived, to have understanding and knowledge of, not intellectual knowledge, but a heart perception, embracing the truth, experiential perception, we call it, confidence in the Word of God. And as Brother Glenn said this morning, receive the Word. That's the same concept. Acts 2, chapter 2, those that gladly received His Word were baptized. And then in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says they received the word as from God and not men. So that's what the word means here. We know this book not by intellectual knowledge, but we've embraced it, right? We perceive it. We understand it. And that is the key. And there's a second phrase I want you to note in verse 13, that word spirit of faith. That means an attitude or an outlook of faith. You know, you say, well, I have faith, but do you have an outlook of faith? Do you live in a spirit of faith? Paul is not referring to a special gift of faith, but rather to that attitude that ought to belong to every believer. He saw himself identified with the believer who wrote Psalms 116, verse 10, I believed, therefore I have spoken. What does that tell us? That tells us if you truly believe the word of God, you're going to share him, right? Amen. You're going to speak it, right? Yeah. And that's what it means. Why was Paul so confident? You say, well, that's the Apostle Paul. I mean, he was a level above us, you know. There's no way we can live the life that the Apostle Paul, well, we're not apostles, okay? But God's word is intended for us, too, to live the same kind of faith that he lived. Amen? You don't have to be a super apostle to live a certain kind of way. This is for all of us. Now, why was he so confident? Well, he had nothing to fear from life or death. He understood that. He had previously listed the trials that he went through, and that was a part of his life and his ministry. And now he was affirming that his faith gave him victory over all of them. You know, Peter said it this way, we're saved by the same faith that the apostles were saved by. We're saved by the same faith that all the Christians, all through from Pentecost on, have been saved by. All of us have the same faith. But do we have a spirit of faith? And now the text gives us assurances that we can have a confident faith. Number one, we are sure of ultimate victory. Now you look at the news and you're not assured of that, right? And by the way, I want to go on record that Faye and I have gotten rid of our super basic digital package, and we have basic package, $39 a month with CNS. And we ain't got to worry about watching the news. I got them on my smartphone, right? Now we can watch Andy Griffith and Columbo all we want to, right? But we are sure of ultimate faith. By the way, let me say this about the riots and the things in Portland and Washington, L.A., Atlanta, wherever, New York. Folks, when you watch your news, you would think the whole world's on fire, right? Yeah. From the South, I would say it's on fire, right? But it's not. When you take the number of those idiots, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, the Marxist Communist movement, when you take the number out there, it does not, it's just a smidgen of what's in our country, right? That's right. There are more of us than there are of them. But you still have to go to the voting booth, right? Amen. Right? And by the way, like Trump said, go to the voting poll and also send in about 5 mail-in ballots, okay, on your way. But there's more of us than them. But Paul understood that he has the ultimate victory, verse 14. He said, knowing that which raised up, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ shall raise us up also, a bodily resurrection that he taught us in 1 Thessalonians. Raise us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, this parallels Romans. Jesus Christ conquered death. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. But yet we haven't conquered it yet, right? He conquered it, but we live like we haven't conquered it. The last enemy, death. If he took the fear of death away, what else is there to fear? That's the great enemy. Men do everything they can to penetrate the meaning of death and prepare for it. I was watching MASH the other night, and Klinger was real sick and is outside the hospital there at MASH, and he was having some kind of thing, and he dreamed that the soldier laying next to him on the ground got up out of his body and walking around and saying, am I really dead? And, you know, and he went that way the whole show. And the guy finally realized he was dead, so he gathered up with a bunch of other dead soldiers and they walked down the road toward somewhere. That's the view that the world has of death, right? Yes. Well, I want to tell you something. The body, the Bible says, if you're a believer, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Right. Immediately. There's no wait. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. There's no hyphen there. There's no purgatory there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when you look, open up your eyes in heaven and see the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you sit there at his feet and waiting the resurrection of the body at the rapture of the church, if you die before the rapture, I'm telling you, you're going to be a lot better off than what you are right now. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's get excited. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I know y'all ain't. Until a person is prepared to die, he's not really prepared to live. The joyful message of the early church was victory of Christ over death, and we need to return to that victorious emphasis. Note, too, that Paul saw a future reunion of God's people in the latter part of verse 14. He says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians 4. He shall present us with you. See, death is a great divider. It's a great separator. But in Jesus Christ, there's assurance that his people shall be reunited not only with Jesus, but we're going to see each other again. Folks, we have the ultimate victory. We can live a confident faith, right? Now, if we were Catholic and we didn't know if we were going to be in heaven until we got there, we're going to depend on our works and the sacraments to get us there, we wouldn't be able to live a confident faith. But we're not Catholic. We're Christian. We believe that when we die, we go into the presence of the Lord God. Well, we believe when we've repented of our sins and we placed our faith in Christ that we have become holy ones, saints. We are in Christ. That's our position. We don't have to wait at the end of our life and do some kind of miracle and have the priesthood declare us a saint. We are saints. Amen? And we're going to stand there in his presence one day. So we have a sure ultimate victory. Second way we can live a confident faith, verse 15, we are sure God will be glorified. That's the chief end of man, isn't it? Not to glorify us, but to glorify God. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now again, this verse is similar to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, gives us the assurance that our sufferings are not wasted. For a believer, your sufferings are not wasted, therefore you're good in God's glory, right? And to make you like Jesus Christ, to perfect and purify your faith. God uses them to minister to others and also bring glory to his name. It's one of the greatest pleasures in the ministry is see God's people who've been through hard times themselves. Now when somebody else in the body of Christ is going through that hard time, they can go to them and minister to them in a real way. Because they went through that, right? And God comforted them so that they may comfort someone else. Now, how is God glorified in our trials? You know, this is similar to what you were talking about Oprah Winfrey this morning. By giving us the abundant grace that we need to maintain joy and strength in going through the difficult life. Do you know that? Do you believe that today? God will give you the grace for whatever lies ahead for you. You say, well, I don't have it. Well, you ain't supposed to get it yet. You only get it when you need it, right? And so by giving us the abundant grace, we need to maintain joy and strength when going through great difficulty. Wherever grace leads you, it will lead you to the glory of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's wake up. It will lead you to the glory of God. There's a third way we can have a confident faith. Verse 16 through 17, we are sure that our trials work for us, not against us. You know, Faye and I have found ourselves this week, we've had one car in the shop, then the other car in the shop the day after we got the other car out of the shop. And they were expensive. And we were saying, you know, what has God got against us, you know? What's going on? You know, what has God got against me? Why am I in the hospital? Why am I going through this? But that's the wrong idea. See, trials work for us, not against us. for the child of God. Verse 16, he said this, "For which cause we faint not, we don't lose heart. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." The outward man, unless you haven't noticed yet, your outward man is perishing, right? You young people, you're going to look like this pastor one day, right? You're going to have wrinkles where you didn't even know you had wrinkles. Bulges, bunions, bald head, you're going to have it all one day. You're perishing outward. In fact, Brother Marcus, I lay in the bed at night sometimes and I'm thinking, man, I feel like scales and cells are just dropping off my body, you know? I say, I'm getting old. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, it's supposed to, right? It can't take it to heaven. Yet the inward man is being renewed by day by day. That's the inner man that God has regenerated day by day through the word of God, right? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. We call it, woe is me. There's nobody else. Now, y'all, I'm going to fix it, hit you where it hurts. There's nobody else in the world going through what I've been through. Nobody else is going through what I'm going through now. I'm the only one, and nobody cares, and nobody loves me, right? Yeah. And I agree with Brother Glenn this morning. Pull yourself up and go on, right? Yeah. For our light affliction was but for a moment. Working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So we are sure that our trials work for us and not against us. And when you understand that, you can have a confident faith. What does it matter in the outward person is perishing? So as long as the inward man is being renewed day by day, what about lost people? Their outward man is perishing, but so is their inner man, right? But that's not the way it is with us. We're daily experiencing a daily spiritual revival and renewal in our lives as we become more like Christ. We cannot control the natural deterioration of the human body. Many people try, don't they? They'll go to whatever doctor and they'll spend whatever money. And you look at them on TV and they look like their skin has been stretched 800 times, right? And I remember old Phyllis Dillard, boy, righty. I mean, her skin couldn't have been stretched any tighter than what it was. Her toenails are already up in her eyes, you know. And they do whatever. They do this treatment. They do that treatment. I had an uncle one time. He says, I'm going to live longer. I'm 80-something, but I want to live longer. So he drank all kind of juices and vegetables, you know, and he drank all this and drank all that. Then he died of emphysema. I mean, you didn't come to hear it this morning, but you're going to die. And you need faith in Jesus Christ to make sure you live forever, right? Amen. When we consider all the physical trials that Paul endured, it's no wonder he wrote as he did, right? As Christians, we live a day at a time. No person, no matter how wealthy or gifted they are, can live 2 days at a time, although we try it. We try to live yesterday, today, and tomorrow all at the same time. God hasn't given you the grace for yesterday. That's gone. God has given you grace for the present today. God will not give you the grace for tomorrow until you need it tomorrow, right? Right. So quit trying to live 2 days at a time and live the one day God has given you and make the best of it. Amen. Help who you can and minister who you can and look at every opportunity you have as a divine appointment, right? So when you live by faith daily in Christ, you get the right perspective on suffering. Light affliction, weight of glory. I don't know about you, but when the glory appears that we shall see, that's the weight of glory, the heaviness of glory. It's better than the light affliction. Momentary and eternal. We think, whoa, no, I mean, all my life I'm going to have to suffer with this, and I'm just in my whole life, you know what I mean? Guess what? It's just momentary. It's not eternal. Working against us and working for us. See, this is the secret to the Christian life, is being able to see the unseen. Right? Go to the eye doctor sometime. I thought about doing this with Dr. Easton next time I go to her. And she says, read the chart. I said, what chart? I'm looking past the chart. I see the unseen. All right? And she'll say, 9/11, come get him, right? Paul was writing with eternity values in view. That's our problem, folks. We're looking at the present rather than beyond. He was weighing the present trials against the future glory, and he discovered that his trials were actually working for him. Aren't you glad that the Apostle Paul suffered the way he did? We wouldn't be able to read this text this morning and draw something from it. And then lastly, how can we have a confident faith? We are sure the invisible world is real. Verse 18. For while we look at the things which are seen, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How many of you remember, I know that you older folks remember A.W. Tozer, right? He said this. He said, if we could only see the invisible world the visible world, the way God wants us to see it, we would never be attracted to it by what it offers. If we saw this world system the way that God sees it, we would have no desire for it whatsoever. Great men and women of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11, 1 through 40 achieved what they did because they saw the invisible. Brother Steve at Brooks at First Newark is preaching through Hebrews, and I've been listening to a little bit in Hebrews. Don't tell him I'm listening. He might mention my name, but excellent on Hebrews chapter 11. All these died in faith, and that same life that they live is available to all of us. All of us could have the same way, right? We can live our life by faith. And they continued, and they kept going. And we got to quit saying, that's them. They're in the Bible. We're not in the Bible. No, we are in the Bible because he saved us. We have the same faith they have, right? And we can accomplish the same things they accomplished. The things of this world seem so real because we can see them and feel them, right? They're temporal, but they're passing away. Only eternal things of the spiritual life will last. I don't care what you own when you die. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how many houses you have. I don't care how many cars you have, how many places you have in Key West. I don't care how much money you got in the bank. All that is going to matter is that spiritual life. Amen? That's all that's going to matter. Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's our problem, church. We're too busy looking at what we can see. We have never seen Jesus. I don't, you know, and I know none of you have, right? If you have, then you're in the wrong church. You're not going to see him till the rapture. I've never seen heaven, but I believe in it. Why? I know Christ is real. I know that heaven is real, right? Verse 14. I've embraced the Word of God. It's become part of me. I have a great assurance and confidence in the Word of God. I think of Abraham in Hebrews 11, and we're almost through. Abraham looked for that city, remember? That's what kept him going. He separated himself from Sodom. Why did he separate himself from Sodom? Because he saw that city, right? Lot didn't see that city. Therefore, Lot went into Sodom, right? You see, Lot didn't... Well, how can I say? If he had saw that city, he would not have went into Sodom, right? Can I say it this way? There's something wrong with our faith when we make bad choices because we're not seeing the invisible, right? We're looking at the wrong thing. So we're sure the invisible world is real. I mean, I know there's angels. I know there's demons. I know there's a heaven. And I know that God has going to give us a glorified body one day. We're going to be in heaven. We're not going to walk all over heaven until the resurrection, right? But when we die, we go right into his presence, right? We know all that, right? But now we got to have what? Faith. We got to walk by faith. We got to have actions of faith. We got to act like we believe it, right? So how can we have a confident faith and not lose heart? Well, let me give you the secret, okay? I feel kind of like one of these TBN preachers, you know. I got a new secret I want to share with you. But it's not a secret. It's in our text. How can we have a confident faith? Here's the secret. Verse 13. Believe the word of God and walk in an attitude of faith. That's it. You've been taught the word of God your whole life. Do you really embrace it? Do you really perceive it? Have you really received it enough to change your life? So you say, well, I know the Bible, right? Now it's time to live the Bible. Now it's time to live by faith, right? Amen. That's the secret. It's right here in the text, verse 13 and 14. Because we know these things, we speak these things, right? And it's just not a, like Brother Glenn was saying, in Bible study and reading the Bible, it's just not saying, reading Psalms 1-3, getting it through with it, say, I'm done with that, close your book and go on. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. Have you really embraced the faith of this book? If you do, live by it, right? Because if you embrace it, it's hard not to live by it, right? Now, I'm going to let you out before 12. We got 3 minutes, okay? So don't go to sleep yet. Get your nap out tonight, come back, and then you can sleep, okay? It's very simple because of what we know. And then we live by faith, right? For a Baptist to say, we're people of the book. But yet somebody comes up to you and asks you something, you say, well, I don't know where that's at, but I'll get my preacher, I'll call him, he can tell me, right? And if I don't know it, I can call Brother Glenn, right? That's the secret. Have you really embraced this book and then live by it, right? All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come. Father, we thank you again for your word today. Thank you for this series so far, not losing heart. We have a glorious ministry. You have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have a confident faith, and next week we're going to see we have a future hope. Why would we lose heart? Why would we faint? Why would we quit when we've been blessed with so much? Our problem is we have taken our eyes off of what we know. And we're not living by faith. We're not appropriating the word of God in our daily life. That's one of the things that was in Proverbs 2 that Brother Glenn taught on this morning. Apply. Not enough to know it. We got to apply it in our life. Maybe someone here this morning says, you know, I've lived my whole life and I haven't fully understood what you said until this morning. Because we know, we speak. I want to live my faith, my life by the word of God. I want to live out my faith because of what I know. Maybe there's one here this morning never been saved. Oh, they made a decision. They voiced a commitment, but their life has never been regenerated. They've never been changed. There's no evidence of a transformed life. This altar is open. This aisle is open. If you come and say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to come to this altar maybe and make a commitment that I'm going to be a person of faith. That I'm going to increase my faith quotient. It's going to be a 10 because I know these things to be true and I'm going to live them out. The worst thing for a Christian is not to die. The worst thing for a Christian or for a lost person is to die and go to hell. We go to heaven. I just got through teaching the men at the Y about heaven. And I could see the sparkle in their eye. A fabulous place you prepared for us. But yet we don't want to go there. So, Father, I pray today that you'll speak to us, that we'll look at the unseen world, and that we will appropriate what we know. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.